Let's go to the UK now, where calls for reform of the House of Lords are getting louder. This follows the extraordinary scandal that's engulfed the Deputy Speaker of the House of Lords, Lord Sewell, who was secretly filmed allegedly snorting cocaine and cavorting with prostitutes. The footage, released by the Sun newspaper, also showed him making disparaging remarks about a number of senior politicians, including Prime Minister David Cameron. Lord Sewell has now resigned, but the scandal has reignited calls for urgent reform of the upper house, with many saying the time has come for the peers to go. The UK's Electoral Reform Society has long been campaigning for an elected House of Lords. Its Deputy Chief Executive is Darren Hughes. Darren Hughes, welcome to RM Breakfast.
Good morning, thank you.
Darren, I think I'm right in saying Lord Sewell's the first peer to quit the House of Lords. Is the reputation of the upper house of the Parliament, has it been permanently damaged by these allegations, or is this kind of, in a sense, of British politics over the decades, par for the course?
Well, every summer season that we have here seems to be another wave of controversy, scandals swirling around, and this is just the latest one of them. He is the first to actually resign his membership in a controversial sense, because the rules just changed recently. But those rules are just really tinkering around the edges. There are over 800 of these people now in the House of Lords. None of them are elected. They're all either hereditary peers who have been born into the job. They're bishops from the Church of England, or their political cronies or party donors. And it really has got out of balance. It's too big, costs too much, and it's unaccountable to the taxpayer.
Well, that is very large. 800 in the House of Lords is large. But can I quote you?
Of course, the UK is a big...
Go
on. The UK is a big population, but the House of Commons, which is directly elected by the public, only has 650 members. Still a lot by Australian and New Zealand standards, of course, but the elected people at Westminster are overrun by these appointed members of the House of Lords, and we know that the Prime Minister is planning to appoint about another 50 during the course of this year, so it really is out of control.
So there's an efficiency argument here, I suppose. It's too large and too expensive because it costs an awful lot to run with that many people in it. But what about, I mean, the major argument would be about whether it works or not, whether it's effective. Lord Jonathan Hill, who's a former leader of the House of Lords, says the institution is still doing its job of revising legislation, holding the government to account effectively. Is it?
Well, I think there are some areas where the House does a good job, but they're not 830 or 840 fantastic revisers and scrutineers of legislation. This is a conceit, really, that members of the House tell themselves that we're doing such a wonderful job, we must stay. The truth is, as we know from Australia, from the United States, from many places, you can elect very fine people from your citizens to go and serve in an upper house and provide that scrutiny role. And I think that these numbers now are just so high, they can claim £300 a day tax-free just by arriving and walking in. Now some are working hard, but when you've got these kind of things going on with that level of money being paid, over 800 of them, more on the way, it loses credibility with the public, because in the end, these people are passing laws that other people have to live under.
They're also, I mean, is there an issue, as you say, David Cameron's expected to appoint another 50? These are in the gift of the Prime Minister of the day, these appointments, by and large, aren't they? Or many of them, not all of them, but many of them. Does that raise
90%,
does that raise a question of their objectivity? You know, if you're appointed by a certain side of politics, you know, how do they keep a balance there to make sure there's objectivity overall in that 800?
Well, that's right, because most of them do take a party whip. So they're appointed by the Prime Minister, who always makes sure that his or her party gets the most number, and then a few token appointments are made to the opposition. What's made this more urgent is that in the last Parliament, we had a coalition government, and the coalition partner is now sitting in opposition, and the Liberal Democrats plus the Labour members of the House of Lords massively outnumber the Conservatives. So David Cameron said today, well, I wish I'd reformed it in the last Parliament, but it's all too hard now. So the only answer is to appoint a lot more people from the Conservative Party cronies and donors and yes people, to go and sit there to take on a fancy title to get the good pay, but shockingly, pass laws. And I just think it's a basic principle that if you pass laws that people have to live by, you should be elected by the people who have to live by them.
And why is there resistance to this? I know David Cameron, the Prime Minister, has already said reforming the House of Lords is not a priority. In other words, he's got other fights to fight. But why is there resistance to the notion of electing? And how would that happen? What would the House of Lords look like if that occurred?
Well, unfortunately, one of the great truths around the world is that politicians are very good at reforming other people's industries, but pretty bad at reforming their own one. And the difficulty in the House of Commons is that too many members who sit there think to themselves, this House of Lords thing is a great thing to have around, because if I ever lose my seat or leave office in the lower house, I can be appointed by my political friends to the upper house. I know that sounds cynical, but when you've got over 800 people who have done it or who are there, this is the only conclusion you can draw. What we think should happen is that there should be a proportional representation election for the upper house based on the European Parliament boundaries that British people are already used to, and the people who are passing laws in the Senate should be elected by the public.
Darren Hughes, thank you very much for joining us on Breakfast.
Pleasure.
Darren Hughes is the Deputy Chief Executive of Britain's Electoral Reform Society and a former minister in the New Zealand Prime Minister Helen Clark's government. And this call for reform, thanks to the antics, basically, of Lord Sewell. But it is an incredible beast when you look at these statistics. As he said, 800 Lords soon to be. It costs currently £100 million a year to run just the upper house, the House of Lords. And their weekly dinner bill is £60,000 a week.